فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه. So whoever hopes to meet their Lord, do you hope to meet him? Only if one has firm belief in his meeting, not one in doubt and suspicion. Because if there is doubt or suspicion, then they cannot go forward. Only when one who has firm belief in meeting with Allah and knows that they have to stand in front of him one day to give account, the day where there will be no veil in between him and his Lord, and will have to answer standing in his court, then what should they do? فَلْيَعْمَلْ أَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then he should do righteous deeds. Again, the thing people run away from the most is mentioned. This is the first requirement, that they have firm belief in meeting with Allah. Half the problem is fixed with this belief, because if one knows they will have to meet their Lord, they will worry and will not be preoccupied in useless things of this life, and is fun. This person's sight will be towards meeting with Allah and will prepare for it. Will he find attractions in the worldly things, such as shopping, joking around, and fun, while their heart is not turned to these things, but they worry about their meeting? In this world, if someone has to meet an important person or a figure or importance or a president or a minister, for example, if the president invites you to meet with them, and due to the excitement and anxiousness, a person will not be able to sleep at night. So one who knows they have to meet their Lord, their Master of the Universe, would they not be concerned? And would they sleep without worries and be indulged in having fun? The Prophet ﷺ stated, I have not found one who hopes and desires for Jannah sleeping, or I did not see one running away from Jahannam that he sleeps. What does it mean? This person is not heedless and not worried. Whoever has firm belief and desires Jannah, they would not sleep. It doesn't mean they don't sleep at night. Rather, their heedlessness is removed and they become alert. They desire going to Jannah, and above all, they know they have to meet with Allah. Just as a person from excitement of meeting with the president cannot sleep at night, while one who has to meet his Lord, what can be bigger than this? Would they still find attraction in other things, knowing this? Materialism and race of getting this brand name and that brand name, would this person be concerned with these things? While their sight is towards something greater, and they worry about meeting with their Lord, then thinking about the reality of hell and its flames, it will keep them preoccupied with this worry, and they will not be lost in this life. As he also sees people dying and leaving this world, not just the elderly, even the young. If a person is preoccupied with other things, it could mean that the problem is in their yaqeen or firm belief. The problem is in lack of faith, because one who has firm belief in this meeting, their life changes. فَلْيَعْمَلْ أَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then he should do righteous deeds, and without the righteous deeds, there is no success. They should understand this properly. Again and again, when we hear about doing righteous deeds, then we should take out excuses from our minds, that is, it is too difficult to obey commands of Allah. And after gaining the knowledge, we should bring into actions. Otherwise, it would be like a person who plants a seed, but no plant comes out of it. If no plant comes out, then there was no benefit in planting the seed. Or example of a sick person who goes to a doctor and hears about the treatments. By just hearing about the treatments and not seeking them, Will it cure a person from their sickness? No. And if we keep taking classes of knowledge, and hear admonishments and talks, but it will not benefit a person until they bring it into action, what they learn. This is for all of us, even myself. Allah will not be pleased with our verbal attesting alone, but when we bring into action, then we have shown obedience through action. Therefore, Hasan Basri stated, a true believer is recognized by his good actions and not just talk. Everyone talks. Allah will not look at how many lectures a person conducted and how many people liked the lecture. No, Allah will look at how much they obeyed the commands of Allah and how much they brought into action what they learned or taught. On the day of Qiyamah, children of Adam will not be able to move from their place until they answer 5 questions. The 5th question from the list is about the knowledge the person gained about Deen and how much they brought it into action. Mother of Sufyan Thori said in advice to her son that after you have written 10 letters, assess yourself. If it increased you in behavior, knowledge, and significance, and if you notice that they have not increased, then know you did not gain any benefit from your knowledge. If there is no change in the character and conduct of a person after gaining knowledge, then it is only as described in the Quran, as a donkey carrying a load of books. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who bring into actions what we learn. So they should do righteous deeds. And what else should they do? وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَهَدًا. And they should not associate anyone in worship of Allah. Here, what does shirk mean? What do we learn from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did tafsir of this ayah, the Prophet meant shirk-e khafi, which is the hidden or inconspicuous shirk. Doing deeds for showing off to others. A companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sometimes when I get up to do something righteous or good, or even worship, I do it with the intention to please Allah. But then I also hope that people would see me doing the good and feel happy when they praise me. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained quiet until this ayah was revealed about shirk-e khafi, that no one should associate anyone in worship of Allah. So this also comes under shirk. It is considered a shirk when a person includes pleasing others in their intentions. Yes, people do good deeds with the intention to please Allah. As we are learning Quran, everyone does it to please Allah. But if there is a hidden desire and want for people to see them doing the good deeds and want to be praised, also a person who fasts intended to do it for Allah, but also desires that others see how good they keep their fast, then this is shirk. Ibn Abbas spoke about a companion, Jundam bin Zuhair. He said when he would pray salah or fast or give charity, and then he would see people praising him for the good actions, he would feel very happy and would start doing more of those good deeds. Then this ayah was revealed. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَهَدًا. It shouldn't be that a person starts doing more good deeds due to others seeing them and getting happy with them and praising them. Then this would be shirk. Also, if the deed is initially done with the intention of pleasing Allah, but then the desire for popularity or recognition or praises from people, then this is shirk-e khafi, the hidden shirk that wastes the good deeds of a person. In Tirmidhi, it is mentioned, Abu Huraira said to the Prophet ﷺ that sometimes I am within my house praying Salah, and then suddenly someone comes in. And the person doesn't know if someone came. For example, if a child opens the door and the adult of the house doesn't know. So the person who comes in sees them praying so well and then doesn't realize at first that they were seen, but when discovers the other person seeing them praying, feels good about it. Would that be Riya? The Prophet ﷺ said, O Abu Huraira, may Allah bestow His mercy on you. At that time, you receive two rewards, one for doing the good deed in privacy and not doing it for show, and the second for being seen. This was because he did not have any intention for anyone to see him. This is when the person did not make the effort to show off to others their good deeds, nor they told anyone, nor knew about others finding out about them, but someone discovered their good deeds. Here we learn, if due to Allah's grace, someone becomes famous and get praised by people, and there is no desire for riya, then there is no sin for them. The Prophet ﷺ said, the thing I fear from all of you is shirk-e-asghar, the smaller shirk. Then people asked what shirk-e-asghar or minor shirk was. He said, riya, doing deeds for showing. And those who did riya on the Day of Judgment, when Allah will recompense mankind for their good deeds, Allah will tell those who did riya to go to those people they did the deeds for in the world to get the reward. Then they will be told to see if they have their reward for them. We always say we are doing it for Allah, but we do not look deep in ourselves to see whether if it is for Allah at all. If we do not have desire for showing to others, then why do we want big responsibilities and jobs that have a big title or name attached to it, or where people get commended by others? And why don't we feel satisfied with even just doing small things? If that too is for the sake of Allah, why do we consider it insignificant? And the things where no one finds out about, why do we not have the interest in doing them? Or when a particular job or responsibility is taken away, why do we feel sad? If it was for the sake of Allah, it cannot be that because a position is lost, a person would feel depressed about it. The Prophet ﷺ stated that Allah says, I am above and self-sufficient from having associates. Those that people attribute with Allah are not His associates or partners. And if a person does good deeds and then includes others, then Allah leaves the entire deed for the partner or associate. In another narration, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that He gets absolved from the actions and makes it exclusively for one who has associated with Allah. This is a Muslim narration. So if the action is done for the sake of Allah and only His pleasure, then there was a tiny bit desire and want that others know about it. Then if the 99% intention was for pleasing Allah and 1% for others to see it and praise them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives up all of it and gives it to those who are made partners with Him. Many times, people ascribe associates to Allah from the mankind. This is shirk when we do deeds for them. In another Musnad Ahmad narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, whoever does good deeds for gaining popularity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him lowly and dishonored in the people. And these people he strove to please are not pleased with them either. We should be so cautious of doing shirk khafi, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shirk comes in you in the most hidden way. It creeps in as footsteps of ant, which is without any noise, and we cannot hear its coming. That's how it creeps in. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will tell you something, that when you do it, you get protected from shirk akbar and shirk asghar, the major sin and the minor sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught a certain kalimat. We should remember them and recite them three times a day, by which Allah will protect us from the shirk, even from riya. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. So what is the supplication? We will look at it closer. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. O Allah, I seek refuge in you. An ushrika bika, that I associate partners with you. Wa ana a'lamu, while I know. Wa astaghfiruka, and I seek your forgiveness. Lima la a'lamu, for the shirk I do not know about, if I did it. So in these kalimat is being absolved of associating partners with Allah. Sometimes a person may know and sometimes doesn't realize that they are doing it. So in this supplication, we are seeking refuge from associating partners we know about as shirk, and that which we do not know about or might have done by mistake. And we learn the first 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf protect from fitna or trial of Dajjal. But in some narrations it is mentioned that whoever memorizes the last 10 ayahs will also protect them from the trials of Dajjal. And these last 10 ayahs are also very beneficial. In one narration in Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned that whoever recites the first 10 ayahs and the last 10 ayahs, they will have a nur or light from their feet to head. And whoever recites the entire Surah Al-Kahf will get nur or light from this earth to the sky or heavens. This we learned before. We learned from Ibn Abbas, a person told him that he intends in his heart to wake up in the last part of night and pray. But sleep overtakes him and is unable to get up to pray, as some people want to get up for tahajjud but are unable to due to sleep. So Ibn Abbas told him that when you go to bed to sleep, recite the last few ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf from قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي until the end of the surah. So whatever time you make the intention to wake up, you will be helped by Allah, insha'Allah. Here we learn about another matter. Ibn Arabi stated that his sheikh would say that your time of age should not be just involved in competitions among each other and occupied with your get-togethers. Look, Allah has completed His explanation upon this ayah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not waste life by get-togethers and competitions among each other, but in doing good deeds. This is Surah Al-Kahf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make its understanding, learning, and acting upon what we learn easy. Ameen. Now we will review this surah and look at the lessons that we learned from it. In another hadith, we learn in Ibn Kathir, Ibn Umar states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever announces his good deeds, Allah will surely disappoint him. His character will be tainted, and he will be considered despised and humiliated by the people." Ibn Umar was stating this, he started crying. This is also in Musnad Ahmad. May Allah protect us from riya. May Allah safeguard our small and imperfect deeds. And may Allah protect us from shirk khafi. Ameen. If you look at this surah from the beginning, the surah mentions various trials which from time to time every person is faced with. A person's faith is checked through trials. What is their real deen? And with Allah, one worthy is who proves himself true and sincere in their trials. Under normal conditions, being steadfast upon deen is easy. Commitment to deen is easy. But only by passing through trials, a person can prove their true character and the commitment to deen. It is at this time people forget about their deen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person who is true to their belief and deen, not one who calls themselves religious or just wears a hijab and calls themselves religious. When a person reaches the level where he doesn't live for himself, but for pleasing Allah, and the purpose of his life is not this life, but the hereafter, then he has gained faith. When a person learns to crush his ego, then he has gained faith and established a connection with his Lord. Being religious is not adopting one way where people give talks or take a few classes. This is not becoming religious or one with deen. It is not what is just in the apparent. It's a journey within a person. It's removing the ego from its throne. It is looking within oneself for faults and not looking at others and becoming experts at it. A tree lives in itself, just as a true believer lives within himself. Our own interpretation of being righteous or religious may not be correct. It may just be something superficial, as an outer garment. The trials that are heading our way and we are going through today, they come to take out our real self and show if the person is genuine and pure and sincere, or if he is fake. Just as rocks get covered with dust, and then plants start to grow upon the dirt, it seems as if there is a lot of green vegetation, but when it rains, the dust along with its plants get washed away. Only a clean, clear rock remains, and there is no greenery. Likewise is the condition of people. Apparently, some people look very religious and green, but just one shake changes its condition. Just one trial takes away all the green, the real personality gets exposed, just as a clean rock. The surah tells us that this world is a place of trials, and every person is tested. The trials come in abnormal conditions. At that time, whoever fails, then they do not have true deen. Proof of being those who are successful is required. When true worth is tested, and if the person fails at that time, then there is no true deen. A person speaks of truth, but does riya and show. When a person speaks about humility, but then when deals with people, they are arrogant. Or when a person speaks of good character and manners, but when they see something against their will, they are the ones with the worst manners. Then it is only superficial, as the greenery on the rock, which is useless to the farmer. Just as a rainstorm is needed for all the greenery to wash away, when the storm of hereafter comes, it will take away all religiosity. And in this surah, we learn about the trial of religion or deen. It teaches us about whatever trials that come our way. Even if a person has to leave their home, they should leave their home, but should not let go of their faith. If they have to cut ties and have to move far away from people, this doesn't necessarily mean that a person has to literally leave their home physically, but has to keep away from certain surroundings and environment and adopt a solitary life, then they should do it. Similarly, when trial of wealth comes, just as we learn about the man of two gardens, if Allah tests us by giving wealth, then we must remain humble, and it shouldn't be that the person only thinks about one's own greatness and feels pride in their own hard work and skill. All the successes leave the person in this world, as the garden was gone from the man in the story, no matter how wonderful and amazing the possession seem, and feels the power and the success on this base. Allah can take it back here in this life. Then we learn about the trial of knowledge. People think that only good comes out from knowledge. Yes, good does come from knowledge, but sometimes bad comes due to it as well. This happens when, after having knowledge, people become arrogant and proud. If one gains knowledge, they should remember, above every person of knowledge is another one with more knowledge. It doesn't make a person great if Allah gives them some knowledge. We learned the amount of water in the beak of the bird was compared to the knowledge of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam combined. There is no harm in admitting that others have more knowledge. Musa alayhi salam did not feel shame in becoming a student, even while he was a great prophet. How can we feel shame in becoming a student? We must always remain humble, even after gaining knowledge. If a person feels competition when someone else is teaching what they are teaching, then this is only love of recognition and fame, not humility. Then we learned the trial of authority and power. We looked at the justice of Dhulqarnain. We do not see example of an empire as his. Even us, if we do not have that much authority, but we are still have our own household, our own territory, there we should not be unjust or oppressive of others. And when we get any position of authority or power, we should have humility. Even if Allah gives us the ability to achieve great things, even then we must remain humble. And we should not expect praises from others. We should say, "This is from the mercy of my Lord." We saw examples of balance and humility. And in this surah, we are taught that all the glitter and glory of this life is only temporary. Nothing from the wealth, nor position, nor authority will go with us when we die. Everything will remain here. Then we are told whatever striving a person does in this life, in terms of religion, deen, or this world, or knowledge for government, if this striving is without focus on akhirah, and if the aim is not to please Allah, nor to gain the successes of the hereafter, but there is self-projection, riya, and show-off, and considering oneself great, then all of the deeds get wasted. This is what is reminded at the end of the surah. Surah teaches us sincerity of intention. We see sincerity and purity of intentions when the companions of the cave leave their homes. They had faith, then they did good actions. We also saw, because of the sincerity in Musa alayhi salam, he became a student of Khidr alayhi salam and did not feel shame in it. We saw Dhulqarnain had sincerity as well, and because of it, he did not want any payment for building the barrier. He only built the barrier to stop the corruption. This surah teaches us movement. It teaches us to work, 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 and race. Musa alayhi salam traveled to gain knowledge. The companions of the cave left their homes and went to the cave. Dhulqarnain was traveling east to west from one expedition to another. We see continuous work and movement. But there is one race that will get wasted here in this life. Then there is another that will gain high ranks of Jannat al-Firdaus in the hereafter. Then we see benefits of pious company. Companions of the cave were pious companions of one another and encouraged each other. For example, they reminded each other and said to bring pure food. And then they encouraged each other that Allah knows how long they slept. Then they also left their homes together to save their faith. And Musa alayhi salam found the righteous company and learned from Khidr alayhi salam. Likewise, the man of two gardens, who himself was arrogant, had a pious friend, who reminded him not to be ungrateful to Allah, and not to be arrogant, and reminded that all can end here. In this surah, we are advised about company. So friendships should be with those who remember Allah, not those who have forgotten Allah, no matter how wealthy they are or how luxurious their life is. We like to make friendships based on how fashionable and up-to-date someone is, and those who wear nice clothes and drive nice cars. Rather, our friendships should be with those who remember Allah, no matter if they are poor. We should check our deeds, our company, and the tests and trials that we face in our life. What is our conduct when we are encircled in them? The decision of where one goes in the hereafter, which is either hell or Jannah, is based on how we face our trials. If we want to save ourselves from hellfire and want to go to Jannah, we should check our reaction in time of trials. We also learn the importance of saying Insha'Allah in this surah, as we learn in the beginning of this surah, how the revelation was delayed due to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgetting to say Insha'Allah. Then in the middle, we are reminded to say Insha'Allah when we intend to do something. And then, even Musa alayhi salam says to Khidr alayhi salam, Insha'Allah, you will find me patient. Then the barrier stopping Ya'juj and Ma'juj from coming out till this day is there because they have not said Insha'Allah yet. Another thing we learn from this surah is concern and regard. We read about the concern of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the beginning of the surah that he would kill himself with grief over the fact that the disbelievers did not believe. Then in the story of the man of two gardens, then the regard of Dhulqarnain and how he helped to construct the barrier. Then we learn from Musa alayhi salam, who was with his student, who doesn't have more knowledge. When he made a mistake, Musa alayhi salam overlooked it. So when we see someone who doesn't have a lot of knowledge of Islam or makes a mistake, then we should forgive them, not deal with them with harshness. Also, we learn that whenever a trial, hardship, or difficulty comes, we must trust that there is good in it for us. And when a person trusts Allah and has yaqeen and or firm belief that there is good in it, they get strength in overcoming the trial. But if they do not have this faith, then becomes restless and starts to complain. The purpose of reading Surah Al-Kahf every Friday is that we face new trials every week. We go through new trials, and when we read Surah Al-Kahf, it serves to calm us down and remind us that trials will come. The real life is life in the hereafter, as this life is compared to water, by which the greenery comes. But then, very soon after, it becomes dry and wasted. Only this much life. When we are reminded, then we will find a solace and comfort from the reminders. and we will remember with patience upon trials. This serves as a remembrance for us every day. We ask Allah for protection and also to safeguard our deeds from Riya. We learn gratitude for the blessings of Allah, as we learned when the man of two gardens showed ingratitude, then his gardens were taken away. And we learn to have humility. When we read these reminders every Friday, overcoming difficulties we encounter in our lives becomes easy. May Allah protect us from all types of trials. And even if we do not understand the wisdom behind every difficulty, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us overcome them with trusting Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ذلك جزاؤهم جهنم بما كفروا واتخذوا آياتي ورسلي هزوا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحداً.